I think we're in trouble.
Welcome to the Dark Flames Radio Show. It's your hosts, Ryan Leffler, Joel Sturgis, and Tammy Henderson. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the opinions of the hosts, Dark Flames Radio Network, its owners, or any affiliates. And welcome, everybody, I can't talk
you
tonight.
I almost did it
out of habit, man. Dark Flames Radio Show. That's the first time ever. That is the first time ever. I will give it. I almost said it out of. I did that for years, and it just gotta love Freud, man. You do. You gotta love Freud because Freud just attacked me and beat the crap out of me with his cane. Holy crap! I did. I almost said it. I almost said and it wasn't a swear. Well, it was kind of a swear word, but not really.
In some circles.
Hi, Joel.
Hey there, Brian. How you doing, man? Oh, boy. It was a heck of a night already getting on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm experimenting with a new sound card.
Yes, which is...
found out the hard way that it does not work the greatest for what we're doing.
No.
When I'm the basically the call host, if you will. And we found out the hard way, darn it, but tonight's a huge night, man. So we'll move along like nothing even ever happened.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep rocking and rolling, but we also have some really, 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 really big news.
I got it. It is Blockbuster news.
Is it? I got to go to Blockbuster to find out?
No.
What the hell are you talking about, Joel?
But you can rent me something, you know, while you're at it. But hey, you know what? Hey, we have to save that little nugget till after the news, man. We got to wait.
What little nugget? Everybody knows it. Listen to the intro, for crying out loud.
Okay, all right. I know they did. You left the cat out of the bag.
It's no longer a nugget, man.
it's a
soiled nugget. which absolutely disgusts me if you think about that. That was kind of a bad statement.
You are a sick man.
I am.
Need help.
I was sick last week. I was a dying mucus-filled puddle last week. It was terrible.
Horrible. And the spooks guy stepped in to lend a hand to co-host desk last week, and I thank them. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't the same.
I even got tested for swine flu, Joel.
Did you really?
Twice. I got tested twice because the first one she used the wrong swab, so she got to come back and stick them up my nose again. Yay!
Oh, man, that swine flu is everywhere.
Yeah, there's like 200 cases worldwide, and some people in third world countries have died, so,
I'm
scared.
But get this. The normal flu, just in America, kills 35,000 people a year.
Right. And this has killed 250? Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm scared.
I'm terrified.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get with the Blockbuster news. The Blockbuster news, Joel.
Well, my week has been... Okay, let's get right
into
this.
Anyway.
We have huge news, and we're actually welcoming a new member to the show. As you guys obviously heard already, her name is Tammy. Tammy Henson, am I correct?
Henderson.
You know what?
What are you smoking?
The thing of it is, man.
I want some.
I kept on telling myself that name in my head repeatedly. And then we had the computer glitch that flustered me, is what happened.
Flustered.
It flustered me. And so, absolutely, Tammy, we want to welcome you aboard to Dark Flames.
Welcome, Tammy.
Hello, and thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't get to hear the intro, so...
Neither did I. So hey, it was.
I did. You know what? Yeah, and that's actually the original one that we used that I put together for Shadow Talk. And you know what? We brought it back because you know what? So many people have missed it, and we needed it, man. So yeah, we brought back that original hard driving music and got the intro put together, the original music from Shadow Talk. So there, I said Shadow Talk. Shadow Talk. The defunct Shadow Talk.
Yep. It's, yes. But this is much better.
It's much better.
This new show is much better. We're loving it, and we know you will too, Tammy. It's been just an awesome show to be on. We've had some great guests, and tonight is no exception. In fact, this is the top 10 of the list right here tonight. Great guests tonight.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about movies and TV and modeling and spiritual healing and all you name it. We're going to be talking about it.
Man.
And we encourage everybody to call in. What's that number, Joel?
Oh, the call-in number for the show is 218-305-4676. That's right. It's 218-305-4676. Can you tell I was a rock and roll DJ or what?
No, not
definitely.
Really. Not really, no. No. Doesn't come through in the least, no. I'm harassing you, but you know what? We're going to jump over to the haunted headlines quick, and then after the haunted headlines, we're going to bring in our guest.
Absolutely, man. This could be a great show.
And now, sit back and enjoy this week's Haunted Headlines with Chris Balzano.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, this is Chris Balzano, and you're listening to the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly trek around the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghostly community. And of course, the biggest story in the paranormal this week has been the passing of a ghost hunting legend. Pioneer Hans Holzer died April 27th at his Manhattan home. He was reported to have been suffering from an undisclosed illness for quite some time. Holzer was one of the paranormal community's most recognizable and prolific figures, authoring more than 120 books on the subject and laying down the groundwork for most of the investigators who followed. The community found out about the passing on Tuesday, and memorials and good thoughts flooded the internet, even from people who spent time railing against the native Austrian. You can read Ghost Villages on the news site at www.ghostvillage.com, as well as experience Jeff Belanger's interview with the legend. There's been another unexplained occurrence in a school outside of the United States worth mentioning. According to the Star Online, the cutting down of a tree may have brought on the paranormal at the SMK Langar in Alor Setar in Malaysia. Since the tree has been removed, students there have spotted the ghostly figure of a woman with long hair. But there's been incidents where multiple people have seen her that has brought attention to the haunting. Twice during the past week, large groups of teenage females have seen the figure during singing practice, making the sighting more credible. As one student puts it, "I could not take a good look at her face, but it was scary and terrifying." There are no reports as to the action which will be taken at the school to handle the ghost or to replant the tree. It seems every week there's another famous person talking about a ghost, and usually they have a ghost project they're trying to sell. This one might be a little bit different. In addition to having to deal with the spotlight and Simon Cowell's seething comments, this year the contestants on American Idol may be dealing with a ghost. Every year, the hopefuls stay in a house together during the singing competition. But according to People, the Bel Air mansion they are in this year has had someone else living with them. Alston contestant Anoop Desai says many of them have had experiences, especially Allison Arita, who believes the spirit lives in her room. The ghost named Phyllis has been known to pull practical jokes and bang around the house. Although she has not seen the ghost herself, Lil Rounds, another booted singer, says the contestants describe her, quote, like a white shadow walking across the room. Although the story has been picked up by several media outlets, Only a few former contestants have spoken up about it, and the show will not confirm the rumors, nor will any current contestant. Those are your haunted headlines for this week. Make sure to stop by the Ghost Village news site to learn more about these stories and others at www.ghostvillage.com/news. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
That was the Haunted Headlines with our buddy Chris Balzano. The guy with thugs.
That's right.
Thugs. That's an Italian guy. He's got thugs.
I'm getting ready to call him Guido.
Yeah. Guido. Hey, rub him out for me. I don't like that guy. Rub him out. Anyway, we're back. We're back. And
what do you mean he needs to get whacked?
I don't even want to go there, Joel. Especially after our conversation during the break.
Haven't you ever watched Sopranos? Come on.
I watched The Sopranos before. But we're going to talk about other TV, too, tonight.
We absolutely are.
Because we have a great guest.
We absolutely do.
We have Kashana Evans with us tonight. And Kashana is a supermodel, I could tell, because I saw a picture of her with an S on her chest. And she's been on TV. She's been on Law & Order SVU. Let's see. She's been in Zoolander, Whipped, and also Epic Movie. And if I forgot anything, I apologize. But she's also, well, being a model, I mean, she's modeled for Levi's and, a whole ton of them. She'll have to tell us more of the ones she's modeled for.
It would have been a shorter list to tell us what she hasn't done, dude.
Well, I'm sorry I blew up. I was just trying to give people a little bit of a picture here. God. You don't have to explode all over me. I mean, this just isn't right. You treat me so badly.
I love it. You can go on and on.
welcome to the show.
On a daily basis, it's crying. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
I'm innocent. Well, anyway, Kashana, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is going to be fun. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff tonight. And we hope people will call in on that number.
Absolutely. And one more time, and the call-in number is, Brian, let me do my DJ voice.
Well, I am.
218-305-4676. That's right. The call-in number for tonight's show is 218-305-4676.
Yeah, it was all right.
I do what I'm given,
By the way, I did love my intro. That's great.
Did you love the intro?
I totally did.
Well, So tell me exactly what you have to do to be a supermodel as opposed to a run-of-the-mill, everyday, ordinary, average model.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to say, you know, in modeling, we don't have any of these cool names like Foofy Boo and Nook'em Foof.
Oh, Blue Steve.
So, right away, I'd like to draw, you know, a clear comparison that is just nowhere near as fun as those names.
Nook'em Foof.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kind of loving these names here. Yeah, you know, I guess your tolerance level and your ability to, you know, like you said, eat is maybe the difference between the working class and the women who have the S on their tank tops.
Well, there you go. I mean, is anorexia something that's running rampant in the modeling industry, though, by and large?
You know, I gotta say, probably no more than, like, wrestling.
Wrestling? Okay. Really?
Yeah, you mean like a pro wrestler?
You guys are so funny. You're so serious. Like, everything I say is sort of like, don't react. She's not going to eat tonight if we react.
If we react, she won't eat for 3 weeks. We know. Don't push her over the edge.
Her blood sugar is crazy.
I love eating. It's one of those things where, you know, if there's, like, girls are doing really well, yeah, they sort of have to stay within the framework of what they're being, you know, hired for. So if they're getting hired for, like, you know, denim jeans and it's this kind of thing, and they had an allergic reaction to bananas and they gained 300 pounds over the weekend, then yeah, you know, it's you know what it is? It's just a liability and an agreement thing. But as just as far as the everyday, no, I felt like I saw girls eating plenty, including myself. I mean, you know, I love food.
They're all secretly bulimic. You see them eating.
Yeah, I eat once a week.
It's just a lot.
She's like a snake. She's like a snake. She finds in the wild and she eats once a week. It's your jaw, don't you know?
No. I eat. I mean, and you know what? You know, if girls do have to watch their weight, the smart ones, you know, they sort of are having dialogue with, like, dietitians, and, you know, I've noticed there's a health trend, so maybe in another era people were, you know, throwing up a little more, but I didn't particularly see it as much. They do smoke a lot of cigarettes, though, in, like, Europe and stuff, so that's kind of an appetite suppressant, I think.
Cool. I gotta start smoking more.
Yeah. There you go, Joel. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you know, go to Paris. You can actually, the elevators are probably the size of my armoire, and you can actually smoke in there, too.
Wow.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I guess everybody gets to try some.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like you'll be shoulder to shoulder with someone, and then, you know, they'll take out the, like, cigarette. It's worthy of a short film. It really is.
A very short film, but hey, a short film nonetheless.
Exactly.
Scotty Rourke there, Spooky Scotty, wants to know, can he be a supermodel?
Oh, is that his Spooks R Us, Spooky Scotty?
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's actually his picture you see in the chat room there, so you evaluate him, you go for it.
Don't look at it straight on.
Well, yeah. You know,
you
Spooky
might burn
Scotty,
your retinas.
I'm actually not an agent, so, you know, if you really want to, if you want to be a model, you have to talk to people that represent models, and definitely going to a model wanting to be a model, it's kind of like who's on first.
Yeah, yeah. Plus,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be like going to your competition and asking them how he did it.
Yeah. What'd you do? Here, let me take notes.
You tell me that.
Oh, shoot. Now, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, too, is now you were in an episode of Law & Order SVU, correct?
Yes, I was.
And I have to give all my kudos to the makeup department at the show. I really do. Because when
Did you see it?
When I saw
a clip of that on YouTube.
I saw the clip of that, and they made you look horrid. So my, you know, and you're actually a great looking woman. So I have to give them the kudos for making you look terrible, which I'm sure was an opposite.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that's got to be something that they're not used to doing. They're probably used to taking people like me and making them look better. You know.
No, I guess we'll have to create an emaciated makeup award for them because they did a great job and. Yes, I did. My relatives saw me, and they were like, "Are you okay?"
It's TV, guys. I wasn't really looking that horrible.
What kind of brought you? Were you a supermodel first and then actress, or did the supermodel thing come after your acting career?
You know, I was doing the modeling thing, and, you know, the agency would be like, oh, there's this little movie thing, and they want you to go to this little movie thing, and, you know, it could be fun. And I was like, I'm not an actor. That's very strange, you know. Models don't talk. My goodness, what kind of world is this? And then I think my natural hammy self was like, oh my God, this is totally fun.
Well, it's nice to know that you weren't right at home on Zoolander.
I was so at home.
Those guys, though, they acted so over the top. And, wow. That's a great
movie. You know what? I've never, it's never been super foreign to me to laugh at myself, so being on that set was absolutely hysterical, and they were a great team of people, they worked well together, and they used so many people that are what they do in New York. Like, they use the real bouncers, the real club people, and I just thought, you know, that's a pretty cool way to come to New York and shoot a film.
That is
absolutely
cool. That is cool. But I have an assignment for all of our listeners. Okay? I want you to all go get your Zoolander DVDs out, and Kashana's going to tell you which part of the movie she was in, and you can go back and look for her. So let everybody who may not know where you are in the movie to where you were at.
Well, yeah, you'd have to freeze frame because it's like, you know, I'm really not even talking. I think it's just, it was so much fun to be on that. But I think it's, we're behind Owen Wilson. And he's like, yeah, you challenging me to a walk-off? And, you know, it's like that. So we're like sort of his cosmopolitan kind of Afro crew that's kind of like silently backing him, you know?
His thugs.
We're his thugs.
Model thugs.
We're his model thugs.
There you go. Model thugs.
Well,
there you go.
I've never seen Zoolander, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
You've never seen Zoolander? What are you, nuts?
No, I've never seen it.
You gotta check it out. Dad.
That's
I'm
a
going
funny
to
movie.
Check it out.
It's
yeah.
good. It's good.
I mean, you know, the funny thing is, you couldn't possibly fit all of the ridiculous things I've personally seen in one movie. So the beautiful part is, you know, hopefully there'll be other fun movies to come spoofing that. Because I mean, I've seen plenty of ridiculous things.
And we're all about spoofing.
Oh yeah, big time spoofing.
We got a new spoof commercial coming up too. So
yes, we do. In our first commercial break, you guys are all going to want to stay tuned for that.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
Well, I had to jump on the spoofing thing. I just had to. You opened the door for me, so to jump in.
Yeah.
But absolutely. But you know, acting and modeling isn't your only passion, is it?
Well, actually. You know, this last year I've been studying healing, and I studied shamanic healing, and I've learned how to do something called illumination sessions.
Oh, neat.
Cool. Do tell.
Okay. The work is sort of based on the Incan, the Hopi, the Mayan lineage. The Indians of the Americas versus, I mean, I know that in other... you know, in other continents, you've got, like, the Sufi and, you know, other medicine, you know, titles and such. But it's been really interesting. I sort of myself was a little skeptical, like, no one can teach you to heal. This is foolish, you know? Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, my heart was sort of, like, needing some sabbatical and needing some soul and some roots. And it absolutely blew me away. It's you learn how to heal the energy around the luminous body, which is called the light body. And this particular course, the study course, has named it the light body, the luminous energy field.
Wow. That's cool.
So now...
Yeah, it's I'm sure it sounds pretty nutty. I'm going to email you guys the website of the place that I study.
Are you able to actually see the energy field around people to heal it, or do you sense it?
You know something? I feel very... the images, the sensations that sort of get spiked when I'm in the medicine space, the images that come in my mind, sometimes before I work with a client, mm-hmm. And of course while I'm with them, it's sort of... it's what I'm doing... It's what they've asked about. So the, mm-hmm. the sessions are... The specific difference is these sessions are very based on what the client is asking about. So we can't sort of go, hey, forget all that, Bob. You've got issues with your uncle.
Right.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so just to answer your question, the images do sort of come in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And it's special. It's very deep. Sometimes it's very easy, and I have had my ghosty encounters, which I've been sort of like, oh my gosh, I thought this was so cool to talk about in the daylight with like lots of people around, but it's very, wow. very different when you're by yourself.
Yeah. We're going to have to get into your ghostly encounters.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm hearing about ghosty encounters.
Oh, that's what we're all about, is the ghosts.
Okay.
We love them.
We love
them.
We do.
Except for when I see Brian's pale white skin, then I'm really afraid of ghosts. But until then, I'm cool with it.
Hey, I'm a redhead. What can I say?
Hey, I'm pasty. Get a tan, dude. All right, get a tan.
I don't tan. It's impossible.
You'll probably just burn. Then you look like a hot dog.
I do. I look like a big Oscar Mayer wiener running around looking for a bun. It's terrible.
No, I had to harass him. I had to take that moment to harass him. Just a little bit.
But I don't. I don't tan. I don't even, you know, I keep hoping that one of these days my freckles will all connect and I'll have a permanent tan. Be kind of cool.
Now, not to get off.
Or we can see the star system on your cheeks.
There
right?
you go.
All the freckles.
Not to get off topic too far, but Brian, you absolutely do burn like a piece of sausage. I've seen you out in the sun.
I really do.
You do. It doesn't take any time at all.
No.
But that's for another show.
That's for a whole other show. If anybody wants to know, they can email me. I'll tell them.
Yeah, he'll send you pictures of his.
Send you pictures. Yeah. Here's a picture of my sunburned back. Take a look.
It's hairy and burn. Okay. All right.
Is that just a regular burn, or does that include freckles?
Oh, it's terrible. I burned something horrible. I mean, when I was like 5 years old, I went out and stayed in the pool all day, and I actually had to go to the hospital and be wrapped like a mummy with some kind of cream on me because I was burned so bad. That's
whoa,
how bad it
is. Whoa.
Man, I had no idea that happened to you.
Yeah, I was like 5. I was wrapped up for weeks. It was terrible. But
wow, so when they unwrapped you, they say, oh my God, it's Mr. Jenkins.
Wow.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I know. I got it. It's just kind of made my brain hurt. I'm trying to absorb it. I'm trying to take it all in. So, anyway, let's get back on track.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to hear about my darn sunburns, okay? For crying out loud, Joel. Well, I want to hear, Kashana, what kind of ghostly encounters you've had.
I took one of my courses I took in Holland last January, and we of course studied at an old castle. I mean, that is a very Scooby-Doo beginning, I realize that. So I'm at this castle in Holland, and I'm very jet lagged, you know. We sort of began ceremony and talking about what type of things we'd be, covering in the course. And, you know, exhausted and everything, I go up to the room and it's late and I'm just very, very jet lagged. And, you know, as I started to kind of go to sleep, I was sort of like drifted to sleep maybe for like maybe 5-10 minutes. And I woke up like so suddenly. And, you know, it's really nothing that I see with my visual eyes, and I'm actually grateful for that. But I just have this sense, like, with my eyes open, I still can sort of see the image. And there was a girl, and we were near this river. There's, like, a river that runs right along this castle. And there was a girl. I just felt like she came out of the river, and there was a girl. Like, and I've never had an energy or any, even a suspicion of an energy that close to me where I could see that it was a girl, her hair was wet, so I thought that she came out of the river, and oh my God, it scared me so bad. Not that there's anything to be scared of once you do your work, once you draw your boundaries as somebody that you're getting your third eye sort of opened, you know how to create a safety for yourself, but I was just so fresh and new, I was just like, oh my God. And she was like nose to nose.
Can you explain?
I mean, to me.
Wow.
Can you just explain to our audience what the third eye is?
I will. And I, you know, I use these terms loosely. These are just sort of my description of them. I understand in this whole energy realm, you know, everybody's got a different way to describe it, you know, and everybody, the yogis, the shamans, you know, the mountain people, the stone people, whomever. I mean, everybody's got a different way, but the third eye is, and that place where you hold where your intuitions are, I think that's the last area of our brain. Is that the mammalian brain? Okay, fine, I failed anatomy, but that last part that connects, that is not the reptilian brain for sure, but the newer one that you can sort of, the yoga people say it's right in the middle of your forehead.
Is that where they were, the people from India were like a red dot in that area, too?
Exactly.
Ah, I see.
I've actually had some experiences with the third eye, too. I mean, I felt like I could see a spirit, but it wasn't like I was actually seeing it, but I was seeing it inside of my mind, like kind of visually. It's a weird kind of place to be in. Perception thing. But it does exist, and everybody can pretty much train themselves to use it. We all have that.
That's absolutely right.
Well, I guess I kind of wanted to ask, too, about now, you talk about the shamanic healing and stuff. How does that actually help people? I know I read about it and stuff, and I see that people use it to help other people. How do they exactly use that to help other people?
Well, I do something called illumination sessions. And an illumination session is sort of set up, if you've ever had a Reiki session, or any kind of energy work, you know, it's set up so that a client comes in, whatever seems to be going on with them, and, you know, the rapport kind of begins. We try to source what's going on, and we take that, we talk a little bit about, you know, some of the basic stuff that you hear, things like the secret talking about, where, okay, is it a negative belief system? Is this a pattern that's been in a family? Is this, you know, negative thinking, or is this something more in the energetic realm of, like, you're at your job, you know your boss doesn't like you, and you keep feeling the pains in your back, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost just drawing a line and connecting things so that you can understand what they are, and then my job would be then to do energy work around the body. Anything that doesn't belong around that luminous body to be in harmony, we work on shifting that out. And that is just something pretty much beyond words. You'd have to get a session to actually know what that entails, because there's no speaking in that part of the session. It's just energy work.
Is that luminous body also considered the aura, the auric field with the layers?
Sure. I mean, you know, they're all talking about that energy around the body. And an even more universal term would be your soul, the soul energy around your body. I mean, I'm definitely not one bound to terms, but when I am in my study course, sure, you have to be, you know, all have to have a common language just so you can be very specific about having, you know, developing an integral medicine practice, an energy medicine practice.
I like the luminous body description because I think, in a way, the auric field or the aura has been overused a lot. And people don't seem to understand that, but when you say luminous body, it just seems to have a different personification. It just, to me, it sounds like something somebody could understand more.
Sounds like a glowing amoeba to me.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes, you know what? That sometimes it could look like a glowing amoeba. I mean, you know, just... you know, it's funny because you do start to get a sense, however your mind works, there's so many different types of shamans, young and old, so many different cultures have sort of begun to study how to heal this energy surrounding the body. So you can be from anywhere, however your messages inform you, you see things that way. So I wouldn't have the same images on a session with someone as another shaman. You know, we're each informed and have that specific job to do, which is for healing purposes only for that client. With permission only is really very much a part of the shamanic practice that I study.
So how far along are you in your studies?
I finished the course. I have clients, and I've got two more master courses. I finished the regular courses, and I just have two more master courses to take.
Awesome.
So you're really advanced. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
No, that's cool. Go ahead, Joel.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. It sounds like you're very advanced in your study, but my question is, if I'm the guy off the street and I come to you for this type of healing, what can I expect?
Well, you know, to be honest, you know... You know, one would maybe ask, have you had wellness work before? A lot of it is feeling out energy-wise. If this feels like, you know, to the shamans, they also, you know, stay very aware of what feels in right relation for them, where can they be of service. So, if it's an off, I've worked on clients who have been like, very new, and they've been like, I don't know what to expect. I talk my clients through everything. I use a massage table just because, a lot of the work and ceremony that I participate in my study courses, I love it. It's like being in a yoga room, you work on the floor. There's a very great connection with the earth and the floor.
Yeah.
But for the sake of clients, of course everyone doesn't, there's different cultures in the United States, so I prefer to use a massage table with my clients just because it's a little more professional.
Helps people relax, too.
Yeah. So if you were coming off the street and it felt right, and you felt it seemed like, you had a sincere need for an energy medicine practitioner, and I felt like I was in that right energy where I also felt like, I could be of assistance, we would kind of go from there and talk about it a little. I have some clients, little tidbits about it, but the main thing is to remember this is a completely different culture. This is not something that is going through the mind like all of our wonderful psychology work and psychotherapy. This is something that's through the soul and the heart, and it's very based on the earth, the universe, and nature. So, that's like, a fetus asking its mother, so what can I expect when I'm going to be born? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it going to be messy? There's just a process. It should be safe with your integral practitioners, you just kind of depart from that thinking mind. And if you feel that you've been drawn to that practitioner and they're in that relation and you guys work on that, and just, expect simple things or expect miracles, just go to that next level for yourself.
Well, I imagine it's not like you get a ton of people just wandering in off the street. I mean, a shamanic healer isn't exactly something you can flip up on the yellow pages for.
Right. It's right now, it's been very word of mouth. If I feel like I couldn't be helpful to some, I have other shamans, that I feel that are in a very great practice that I will, so I don't mind recommending other practitioners if it feels right for them or if I'm not in town, et cetera. So, it really is about word of mouth pretty much carries people to me that, they arrive for a reason.
Do people ever share their experiences after your sessions?
Yes, we do. We do have a little sharing afterwards, and, it's really something very interesting, when we are studying in the Healing the Light Body program, I'm also learning and practicing on my fellow shamans. So if you can imagine me in a room full of people that study that, that's like, that in itself sends me to the moon.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, now being that this is a taught subject to a lot of people, but yet not everybody learns this the same way, are there a lot of variations in the way that people use this, perceive this, make it work, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. And, from my experience, I will say, I'll admit it, I arrived very skeptical, very protective of myself, because I was just like, what on earth? I mean, it sounds interesting, but, I'm a young woman. I was like, okay, what's going on? What is this? And, each person is individual and unique. The thing that I love about what I'm learning and what I have learned and practiced and am practicing is that no two snowflakes are alike. You've got the person that's, maybe never left their hometown, that is just as powerful as someone who's traveled all over the globe. People from different cultures, and I think what adds that special scoop of humility to all of us Americans who've been granted this wonderful rite of passage by these medicine peoples you know, it's very humbling to know that it's not even originating from all the folks that arrived here. So not from the people of European descent, and not from the African descendants who were sort of hauled over here as well. You know, to me, it's been such a wonderful departure from even thinking about all of our old American issues and seeing this other culture that's saying, this is what we've cultivated, this is what we'd like to share. So everybody's got their own style and their own experience to back their practice, but there is the bottom line, and that is to have an integral energy medicine practice that is for the wellness of the client and with permission only.
Now, do you believe that everybody has this ability to learn this practice?
Everybody does.
You know, and that was my question, really, because I think of myself, and Brian and I, we're both about as psychic or sensitive, if you want to call it, to anything like that as a 2x4. Aren't we, Brian?
Four by six
in my part.
You know, and so somebody like me that doesn't have that kind of sense, I wonder if I could learn this to where it seems like you really have to learn how to tap into your inner being first.
You know, the great thing about it is, if you feel really drawn to explore it, that would be, your next step would just be in you following that choice. Mm-hmm. And when I say choice, it is a choice, you know. You're right, some people are way more sensitive than other people, but if that's something you wanted to cultivate, like, for example, some of us don't really, you know, we don't really have time for thoughts about this until maybe we're losing a loved one, maybe a loved one we know is having a transition, they've been in an accident, you know, and then we get very interested in how can I help, how can I connect, what do I do, how can I make my heart feel better because there's all these changes going on. So it's more about interest and choice and being open to it than anything else, because the decision to say, you know what, I don't really know about this kind of stuff, but I think I'm open today, can totally lead you to, like, whoa, I won't even go there.
That's a really good point. You just have to be open and be willing to listen and pay attention and to understand and to learn something new, and that does a lot.
Yeah. That's right. Just you saying yes, and I don't mean yes, like, socially, we move with our buddies and we have a beer and we're like, yeah, man, I could do that, but it's that yes when you're like, yes, I'm going to just check this out, and I'm telling the universe, yes, I'm open. Can you show me if these things are real or not real? And I guarantee you'll get an answer.
Hmm. Cool. Well, you know what? I think on that note, guys, we should head ourselves into our first break. But before we do now, we need to give away a DVD.
Oh, absolutely.
Woo! Hi. Yay, DVD.
We do.
Of what? Is it Zoolander?
Ancient Code, the movie. It's all about 2012, which should be cool. It's a cool movie.
Oh, that'd be good.
So, that'd be awesome. So I'm thinking what we need to do, Joel, is we need to have caller number two. And we'll do that during the break. We'll have caller number two call in, and they can give us their mailing details. And we will have the DVD sent directly to their mailbox, and they can open it up, watch it, and say, God, I love this. This is cool. And it didn't cost me a dime.
Not caller number one, but caller number two.
Caller number two. Caller number one, sorry, you're out in the cold. Maybe better luck next week, but because we are going to give away another one next week. But
yeah, but I do have to say, disclaimer first, if you have won a prize within the last 30 days on Dark Plains Radio Network, you are disqualified from this particular...
You are, automatically, so don't call in, unless you have a question later on the show. But don't call in for the DVD.
And please do call in, because we want to hear from you.
Yes, we do. So, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to skedaddle us off to break, and during break now, everybody warm up those fingers right now and get calling. And you know what? We also have a very requested song coming up in this commercial, Electric Frankenstein and Coolest Little Monster, because we have just been flooded with people saying, I really want to hear this song again, please.
I've never heard it. I want to hear it.
And the new spoof commercial.
and the new spoof commercial that Joel just burned through his grimy little fingers this afternoon. So everybody's going to love it. So stay tuned for more with Kashana Evans right after this.
This is Brian Hanwall from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Doc Flames Radio.
Want to meet some of the best in paranormal? Then you'll want to attend the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference. It's coming, and you'll not want to miss it. The Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July the 24th, 25th, and 26th. On Minnesota's historic Iron Range. You will get to meet and investigate with some of the top paranormal investigators in the field today. The original legend tripper, Chad Lewis. From hit movies, Children of the Grave, Keith Age. And from the hit show, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, Brian Harnois. Just to name a few. And you will investigate one of the most active places in the world and the birthplace of the modern NHL. The old recreation building in Hockeytown, USA. Eveleth, Minnesota, home of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Plus speaker events at the historic Coates Plaza in Virginia, Minnesota. And meet the official voice of the convention. From Spooks R Us, Scotty and Wayne. Don't miss the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference. That's July 24th, 25th, and 26th. But remember, tickets are limited. So go to darkplainsradio.com to order your tickets today. That's darkplainsradio.com to get your tickets today. We'll see you there at the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference.
Have you been wondering what gift to get that special person in your life? Then you need to visit Mountain View Candle Works, your one-stop headquarters for candles, fountains, specialty foods, and much more. Just visit www.mountainviewcandleworks.com. We make your candles with mountain care.
You're horrid, you're ghastly, and I love you true. So here are some presents I'm sending to you.
I'll send a small box of smallpox, a large tub of hummum, your own noose for home use, a crate full of hateful. You're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. I'll send a lipstick of arsenic, one urn of sunburn, six cups of hiccups, a bin full of sinful. 'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. Monster mine, you haunt me all the time. I'll be true, I'm so in love with you. Doobie, doobie, doobie. Eight nails of hangnails, some pass cards for graveyards, a werewolf for your wolf, some bat wings for earrings. 'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. My dear, you're so ravishing. Where did you ever dig up that dress? Monster mine, you haunt me all the time. I'll be true, I'm so in love with you. Looby dooby dooby dooby, green hair for nightwear, some lap robes of earlobes, a hatpin of bat skin, and three scraps of kneecaps. 'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put a spook on me.
My dear, since I first laid my eyes on you, I can't get them back in the sockets.
'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put a spook on me.
That's the story from New York City.
Are you sick of telemarketers calling you day and night endlessly? trying to sell you crap that you don't even need? Well, fret no more, my friend. With a revolutionary new device from Dark Plains Industry, we will put an end to their harassment once and for all. When a telemarketer calls, this small black box will forward your calls to our resident sergeant, and sergeant will handle these calls for you. With such classic lines as, "Did your parents have any children that lived? Is that the best you can do? And I'm going to gouge out your eyeballs and skull beat you," to ensure they will never bother you again. To get yours today, visit the Dark Plains Radio Store.
They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah, I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay.
How's about taking a nap?
Hey, I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break. That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter. Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette.
Sure.
The Flintstones has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
You're listening to the Dark Plains Radio Network on darkplainsradio.com, providing you with a fun, new, exciting talk radio experience, bringing you the very best in talk radio. You'll hear news, sports, politics, the greatest programming in the paranormal, or anything of interest from around the world. Dark Plains Radio doesn't just stop at that. We provide our listeners with the complete internet experience. Dark Plains Radio is now mobile. You can hear all of our great shows on Nokia Internet Radio and Moodio. Check them out. We're on your cell phone. You'll be glad you did. Listen to Dark Plains Radio Network on darkplainsradio.com and take us with you on Nokia Internet Radio or Moodio. Don't forget and keep listening to your favorite programming as Dark Plains Radio continues to grow.
Hey, and we are back. And hey, by the way, Jeff Resman, congratulations on winning the DVD. You were the second caller. You're going to have a ton of fun with that DVD. I know I want to see it. So, you know, if somehow someone could give me a copy, that'd be awesome. Hint, hint, hint. But I'm sure I'm disqualified.
I don't have one, man. If I had one, I'd give you a copy.
But,
you know.
But, you know, every time I call into this network, because I own the darn thing, and so do you, and Spooky Scotty and Spooky Wayne, I'm disqualified from everything. It kind of stinks, but that's neither here nor there.
Are you whining again?
I am whining. I have begun whining. I have not yet begun.
You are. You are whining, and it's sickening me, actually. You know.
Well, hey, you know what? We have an awesome guest tonight. We're back with Kashana Evans, and we are talking about healing, really. I mean, healing at its deepest level. Isn't that right?
She left.
Are you talking to me?
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
You're talking to me? What do you mean? Hey. I'm a guest on a radio show. What do you mean you're talking to me? How dare you?
I know. Yeah, I couldn't tell if I was like on or not on. I'm like, is that me? Okay, great. Yes. Hopefully, you know, it's you know, just a little bit of news, a little bit of insight on how it works, but it has its lightness too.
Well, okay, well, I guess my question is, if you can, walk us through how something like this takes place. I know you were talking about Joe Blow comes to your door, whatever, and he wants a session with you. How do you really go about doing that with the person?
You know, my sessions have been very word of mouth, you know, so it's people that I meet, you know, we connect and they're interested and they say, oh, you know, I've really been thinking about something like this, or they've had energy work before. You know, so it's that kind of thing. And you just, it's a very sort of private collaboration between the two. You talk about, you know, the appointment time, and we sort of go from there, but they're very, very private, actually, those sessions, and I'm very sworn to, you know, keeping that sacred privacy.
Ah.
This is on, yes.
So we can't really go there.
Well, you know what, though? You know, like I said, it's there's sort of, you know, you talk about what's going on, you connect. There's the energy portion that you really, it's not really through the mind or about the thinking mind at all. And by the end of it, your sort of goal is that you step out of that old state of being, that old place, that old belief system or that old pattern. And the question is, kind of like all the modern popular thinking, what would you do now that is no longer binding you? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, each client is very different, how they'll choose to start to create the new map. And, you know, the Alberto Bielzo talks about this that kind of stuff so much.
You know, one of my biggest questions has been nagging at me a little bit.
Your wife?
Oh, yeah, my wife. I tell you what, keep missing her, but my aim's getting better. can you do healing on animals or children?
Absolutely.
You know, because I imagine we all have, whether you're animal, whether you're a child, we all have that aura about us, don't we?
Well, I've never personally healed an animal with this specific, practice that I do. I did have someone asking about their son, and if she could bring him in and sort of what the session entailed because he was going through some sort of anger issues. So, you know, I'd be very open to that. If it's, you know, if it's a child, we just sort of, we get the parents' permission. Obviously, we just see if the feeling feels right. Does that feel like something that is really balanced and right for the situation? I mean, you know, you also use common sense and et cetera, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Shauna, when did you start feel, when did you feel like this was something that you wanted to do with your life? Because I know that you are a supermodel, but, when did you first, I mean, some people grow up as a child and they feel drawn to this, and other people, they just grow into this later in life.
It's really funny. It might sound really random, but I remember being in Girl Scout camp when I was little with my friends, and we were like, oh, well, let's use the Ouija board, and it'll be, like, really fun, and, like, and it was just one of those nights where it was like, wow, I'm not sure if this is fun, but I am very sure that there's a complete other realm out there. So that was, like, very interesting. But I think also, like, just being a young woman, I grew up in, private school, Catholic school, before I finally was allowed to go to public school. Thank God for public school. But I went to this private school, and it was sort of like, I just remember being like a little girl and just being like, so wait, let me get this right. So all the men, you know, have like the power, and all the men are the priests. And in some kind of way, I understood that there was this pecking order, and that to bring this sort of energy or this healing or to hold that ceremonial space, you have to be a man. I think somewhere in my subconscious, I think I've always sort of been interested in restoring that balance, just so that there's no reason for me to be angry because these guys found their calling. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, well, I want to find out, how do I create a sacred space, and how do I heal people and step into power so that I'm not just feeling like some little, you know, wince man or something.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like it's going to be extremely disciplined. That's what I'm sensing also. It's something that you just don't casually do. It's something that you kind of give your life to, really.
Well, you know, the interesting thing was, I thought about Well, when I went to the class, that first course in Holland, you know, I had been exploring and taking all these different workshops and everything and you know, on top of like acting and modeling. And I was actually elbowing, getting a little bit more elbow space to kind of follow that sort of mystical journey, just because I was curious and it seemed like something where people ended up feeling very connected. But, you know, for some reason, I think there's a middle ground. I mean, it's inspired me to start writing. And just even, you know, being able to be on your radio show and talk about it, I thought there's so many people that do so many things. And for sure, in this era, this is the era that the banker is going to go to the mountaintop and have his spirit time, because everything is changing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And this is a very interesting journey for you to where you started out and where you're going, and what are your long term goals with your talents and the knowledge that you're learning and the healing.
Well, I secretly dream of creating a nonprofit, and I thought it would be so super cool to have something where the scholarship funds go towards world travel to study all of this cool stuff. I think I heard somebody sort of mention, it sounds very serious, you have to dedicate. The great thing about shamanism is it's not a monk, it's not a priest, it's just based on your integrity, your relationship with the earth, and your ability to commit to those sessions. So it's really beautiful. I've started to weave this sort of thing where I still do my modeling, I still do my acting, and more the acting people are asking about the shamanism, and more the shamanism people are asking about the acting, and I just have a feeling somewhere in the middle I'm going to be hopefully just sharing what I know, and if people feel afraid to sort of nose around, or if they're uncertain but they feel that they have gifts or talents or healing or even wanting to heal themselves from deep trauma or just not knowing what the next step is in life, I mean, I will shout it from the mountaintops. I'm happy to do that, because I felt that when I was a young woman, I wanted somebody to do that and tell me it's okay, you don't have to be, you know, coming from that conservative religious background. You know, not to point any fingers, but you can leave a young woman, like, freaked out that she has any kind of anatomy. It's like, oh my God, I have a vagina! Ah! Oh my God, I'm gross! I have nipples, don't tell anyone! I'm gonna go to hospitals, I know it! So, I mean, I say that in jest, but I would really love for everybody, you know, this to me isn't a secret, that, there's a way to explore your world, explore your life, and just to feel so good about it and to be led by responsible people that are committed to your wellness also.
Well, has shamanistic healing helped you in your modeling and acting career?
Now, I'm really glad you asked that question, because it actually makes me laugh, because it sounds very much like, yes, you know, one side. I can imagine a Zoolander moment in a listener's mind right now, like, yes, once I received that Zoolander award, I was able to really deeply immerse myself in my modernism, you know.
I'm in this one, methinks.
I mean, you know, the funny thing is, what does go on a lot with, like, I think the entertainment industry, your actors, your models, your musicians, is those issues that do come up that are about you owning your art and you owning your presence and saying, yeah, this is me today, and I'm imperfect, and I'm lumpy, I'm not perfect, and leaning back very much inside as well as out. And so any kind of insecurities kind of come up, or being like, oh, there was this job and it could have been like so amazing, and it was like with my favorite photographer. We all have a comparison to feeling like that. You go to work hoping for the raise, or you go to ask a girl out for a date only to find out, you know, she's not the one for you, or she wasn't very nice or something. So to me, when I hit those moments, I have such a huge resource to go back to, which is like a little bit of ceremony and just coming into a relaxed space and really trying to see what that's really about. And then by the time I did all that, I could just go and have fun and be a goofball and be crazy because I've already done the good private stuff that makes me feel, you know, nice and yummy.
Yeah, well,
what
absolutely.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, the acting and modeling careers and all that stuff, and more people are finding out. And I have to ask this question. Are there people, or do you get it a lot, that think, wow, she's a nutball? Do you ever get that? I just have to ask because that's, you know, the people's reaction to ghosts, too, you know, same thing.
Yeah, there's still a lot of negative attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I first shot it from the mountaintop, I mean, you know, I kind of knew what we'd be talking about this evening. I kind of feel it out. If people feel like a little open to talking about things, I'll talk about it. If they don't seem interested or, you know, I'm happy to move on to the next subject. You know what I mean? Like, I'm definitely not sort of hoping to, like, you know, influence every single person I come across, but if somebody's interested, I will totally spill the beans. I mean, I'll just tell them everything that they, you know, need to know.
Jeff from the chat room has a great question. He's wondering if shamanistic healing is like Reiki healing or energy.
Yes, it is very similar. In fact, I'm also Reiki level 1, so it is very, very similar.
Sounds like a video game. Yes, Reiki level 1, yes.
I got to go out and Reiki.
That would be fun.
I've actually taken Reiki too, so I know.
Sounds like long hair to me.
Oh, you have taken Reiki?
I have. I have taken the beginning. Yeah. I don't use it. I did for a while, but I don't use it. I know as a child I wanted to be a hands-on healer, so I can kind of understand your point and where you've gone, your feelings toward healing.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I took a Reiki course, and there are similarities. The roots of Reiki it sort of will take you over there to Japan, and the roots of shamanism will bring you to the indigenous peoples in the Americas, so South America and North America.
So it's kind of like the same thing, just different parts of the world.
Yes and no. The yes part is it's energy healing. It's for wellness of the client. What I've realized is in the shamanism, as far as my personal experience, we talk very specifically about tools. We talk very specifically about energy, energetic extractions, meaning energies or entities that do not belong in the body. So we really work very detailed. The course is so detailed about every aspect, and it is fine-tooth combed. Whereas the Reiki was so wonderful, it is very different. We use medicine stones and crystals in the shamanism, and breath work. And in Reiki, the client doesn't have to do any breath work or anything with any kind of stones or tools. They just lay there and receive, which is beautiful as well.
Yeah. I love stones too, crystals, but I don't fully understand them.
Well, I'll tell you about it many old times. You just email me anything you want to know, and I'd be happy to.
You got stones to do that?
Oh, God. Joel, you're a sick puppy. He's a sick puppy. You don't even want to know what he said.
Oh, you naughty man. That's okay. It's sort of...
I'm naughty.
He is.
Like, man's natural state, so, you know.
I can't help but to be.
Wow. Men's natural state. There we go. The stones have been thrown now.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant that.
I'm just kidding.
You know, guys, you know, you're wired to do certain things, and so are we. So I'm not going to make you feel bad for your jokes.
That's good. Well, I guess my next question is does shamanistic healing ever work where traditional healing just can't?
Yeah, I would say yes. You know, if you believe in psychosomatic disease, then certainly the polar opposite would be psychosomatic health. So there are things that are, you know, that are affected in your body that have to do with your thoughts. that's more physics and science than, you know, all the fun spooky talk. And when things get manifested in the body, the skin, the organs, the eyes, the way we carry ourselves, our posture, all of that adds to our health or lack of it. So, for example, if you're speaking about someone who, for generations and generations, they've had, for example, maybe a negative great-great-great-grandmother, and she's been, oh, you guys are nothing, and, you know, this whole thing. Well, for generations and generations of people getting born into a cycle of believing they're nothing are being told that over and over again at very, malleable times in their lives, sure, you would probably guess that by the time you get to the era where people are starting to have stomach lumps and et cetera, you know, physical manifestations, I should say, you'd want to, like, sort of look at that as well as the wonders Western medicine can work.
Products of their environment, right?
Well, maybe not products, but they, you know, definitely receive a heap load of baggage that they certainly wouldn't have to carry any longer, you know, if they were willing to just work on it or work step out of it.
Mm-hmm. The way I understand it is that the negativity or things in the past affect us, and they start eating into or working their way through your energy levels, and eventually they get into your body, and then they cause, like you said, the lumps in your stomach or some kind of physical problem, and that's where the medical doctors come in, because then they have to go in and they have to cut that out or take care of that, because if you catch it early enough, like you do the energy healing, then you can actually kind of eliminate some of that problem that could affect you years later and turn into a disease. That's what
And, you know, your perception of what I said is pretty much true. And the only variable I'll leave is I know Americans love science, so I invite everybody to research to their heart's desire and really follow that up, because, you know, it's important. It's not just about our thought patterns and what we've inherited in terms of thinking, but there are environmental issues that impact us health-wise as well. So that's only the tip of the iceberg, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, now, what kind of things in your experience have you seen as far as, like, physical ailments that have been healed this way?
Well, I'll tell you some personal experiences. One that comes to mind is, you know, and it's really interesting, when you step into this work, there's a sort of cycle, there's an energy that you've almost agreed to be a part of. So half of the course you work on yourself, and the other half you learn to work on others. So I'm in this course, and I get this awful stomach ache. I mean, oh my God, it was awful. You know, I was a little bit upset about something. I went to bed. My stomach was hurting all night. I mean, I was thinking, okay, maybe it's a night for Pepto, or maybe it's an Alka-Seltzer. I didn't know what on earth, but I did know that I was a little upset about something. I just didn't really pay much attention to how I was wired or what really was going on. So I go into the course the next day, and by then I was miserable. My stomach was hurting. My face was pale. I was like, oh my God, if I have to go to the doctor and they tell me this is like some gas bubble, I'm going to die of embarrassment. On the other hand, if this is something serious and I don't go, I'm feeling like I was just so terrified to go or not go. I felt very stuck. And so, you know, I get with this partner and, you know, there I am. I'm 5'9" and a half. I got the big afro hair. You know, and you're this sweet woman who's like half my height and twice my age, and she's like, okay, this is my partner, so there we are, and I with my stomach ache. So she starts working on me, and I figure at this point it's just time to just sink or swim, accept the assistance that's being offered, this exercise, hopefully this will help, and if that didn't help, I was just going to go ahead and go to the emergency room. So we lay there, and she said, well, what's going on? I tell her about the stomach ache. So we start working, and you know, we've got a little space set up, and she says, you can talk to me, tell me if anything comes up. Meanwhile, I'm in the laying down position, as, you know, as common for this work. So I'm laying down, and she, I said, my stomach hurts really bad, really bad. So she starts to use her instruments. We use rattles. We use medicine rattles and release points and et cetera. So she's doing the work. And all of a sudden, my eyes were closed, and I said, there's spiders in my stomach. So whatever my fears were, whatever my worries were, they manifested in my stomach. And the way that my mind that understood it was spiders. And I started to cry because I was terrified. I didn't know what was happening or why. I did feel safe, but I just felt terrified. Like, what on earth is surfacing? What is this? And she held my hand for a minute. You know, it was really scary. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. But I want this gone. And so I said, there's spiders in my stomach. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. But she kept working. She said, okay, you know, how is it now? And they started to leave. And that image left. And I ended up with this wonderful experience, this wonderful sort of, like, mind's eye storybook images that arrived that soothed me a great deal. And when she finished that session and I opened my eyes, I had forgotten where I was, and my stomach was not hurting anymore. And you get to that point where it's like, okay, your ego is not going to be embarrassed that you're crying anymore. It's like experiencing something beyond what you can explain. And so she just looked at me, and she just held my hand for a minute. She was like maybe a mother age to me. And I really just, so there's a lot of that nurture and heart, whereas in psychotherapy, they're not allowed to touch you at all. Your psychotherapist can't hug you, and he can't wipe your tears away, but he can hand you a tissue.
It's all so clinical and so cold. It's not that human touch.
Right. So, you know, I figured I'd go ahead and put myself in the fire rather than offering stories of my clients. That was a personal experience that I was very, and my stomach did not hurt after, and it blew me away because I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room.
Hmm. So, I mean, that really made you a believer right then and there and that's in this practice.
Well, you would hope it would make me a believer, but I still reserve the right to my skepticism, which I much love. So you might hear half believer and half skeptic, where, you know, sometimes I'll be like, this doesn't feel right. And I'll ask questions. I ask provocative questions, and I'm sort of known for, oh, God, there's that girl. She's going to ask us some crazy questions.
Here comes the tough question.
Here it comes, Lord. How do we answer this?
Yeah, so you might want to write about this kind of stuff, because I do feel like I love it. I feel that magic and that mystery, but at the same time, I am a little bit cynical. Like, I am going to ask those provocative questions, and it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that now Jeff, the winner of our DVD, he has a question in the chat room. And he says, with shamanistic healing, can you get the body to help heal itself or help itself heal in such things like cancer? Something that's really serious.
Yeah, to answer, absolutely. You know, one of the first things that, you know, our teacher, Alberto Viola, speaks about is that when you're diagnosed with something, it's not you. You are not that thing. It is not so finite, because the shamans work in that circular time. They don't work in the linear time. So all those roles and labels, the shaman's job is to sort of help their clients step out of, look at what they feel like is going on with that, and then take action. So yes, absolutely, you can look at what impacts or affects your physical health and start to work on that. And I say anything is possible.
I mean, can somebody do soul retrieval healing for themselves?
Well, soul retrieval is very interesting. From my own personal experience, when you become open enough to kind of feel, and, you know, soul retrieval is sort of like you know, say like somebody at work says, hey, you know what, you're a real jerk, Bob. And all of a sudden it's like you're depressed, you're sweating at night, you're having nightmares. Sometimes it's not just the insult. There is soul work involved that can maybe be helpful or useful to kind of step out of that really deep feeling that you get when it hasn't been such a deep reason for you to be there. When you're, you know, you can have soul parts come back in your dreams. You can sort of be open for it, and you'd be amazed how your life can shift when you're sort of partaking in ceremonies and taking your time and nature and stuff like that. But if it's really like something that you go ahead and a doctor does a surgery on himself. So when it's something that really calls, you go to your fellow shaman or somebody who is, you consider a mentor who's been doing it for longer than you have maybe, and you go to them and say, I need help with this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a lot like you said, a doctor operating on themselves. It just doesn't work out for you.
Right. I mean, he could look at his diet, or, you know, he could stop sort of, you know, running 5 miles a day if his knee is bothering him. But when it comes to that point of, you know, the beautiful thing about the shamanism is if there's something going on with you spiritually or your health or you emotionally, the shaman's job is to sort of have this very powerful sacred space for you so that you can rest. And the two of you, with what you're talking about, you work on it. Whereas if you work on it by yourself, yeah, you can really give yourself a pep talk. Don't have any more nightmares. You know, you can talk as much as you can talk, but sometimes we need a little assistance. And, you know, I've had wonderful results with looking to my fellow shaman or Reiki. Reiki's fantastic. Massage? Goodness, I can go on and on. I mean, there's many good things we can do to feed ourselves.
Now, are you able to look at someone, and this was a chat room question, and see what their ailment is by looking at them?
If they give me permission, I can do some scanning and some tracking and see what I pick up. You know, the shaman's world, the world of metaphor is often the phrase they use in my study course. Metaphor as in, you know, one might see a storm and really it's a headache. You know, so things like that happen where you understand a common language. That's why, you know, I sort of say there's a lot of it that is really beyond words. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, if somebody says, hey, you know, what's going on with me? And, you know, but there's a level of sincerity and a level of someone really wanting to know that really ignites the universe, right? Where it's beyond like a sort of fun circus trick. Hmm. And we're very much supposed to have permission, you know, so unless, you know, I mean, sometimes I have visions and they're just my visions. I'm like, you know, I have the vision and I have to pay attention to it, and that's not necessarily shamanism, that's my personal gift.
Mm-hmm. So shamanism is not, you view it more as a gift than a profession?
I view it more as an avenue to teach me how to study and heal the luminous energy field. Other talents that I feel I have already have and I was born with, awesome, just because you're in so much ceremony and you're in these sort of sacred ceremonies that they've had for generations and generations. So my third eye opens right up. That phrase again, just for lack of a better phrase, but I'll give you an example. I was at the beach one time, I'm opening sacred space, and for some reason, usually, you know, you open the sacred space, and you maybe see butterflies, rainbows, beautiful things. Well, for some reason, I saw dark energy in one of the directions. And it was kind of weird because I was like, God, it's broad daylight. It's a sunny day in California. Like, give me a break. I ignore it. Only for, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes later, this really creepy, awful person was walking towards me. And it just was so wrong. I mean, it was so out of whack with what the norm was. And, you know, I just got out of there as fast as I could. And he followed me. So it was really interesting that that sort of funny thing came into my mind. I didn't quite know what to do with it. And so it is very interesting. Once you get a little spiritual, you don't really have much elbow space to just kick it. So by the side of the river, you sort of have to get in that river, because when those messages come, you sort of want to know what they're about.
Cool. Well, you know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to run off to our next break real quick, guys. And I know Derek White Sky Cloud wants to call in. He wants to talk to you a little bit there, Kashana. And
okay, great.
He's the one I told you about earlier today. He's a shaman too. And
might
be very interesting. So I want to go ahead and get our break out of the way, and then we'll have free and clear time to bring Derek in. So we will return with Kashana Evans right after this.
Call in now live. We're on the air on Dark Plains Radio, darkplainsradio.com.
I'm Klondike Pete, I tend the bar for men both brave and bold. It warms my heart to serve them all the ale with Brewer's Gold.
Enjoy that golden flavor, true ale flavor.
Masters know this Brewer's Gold, the best cup from the vine. They brew it into Ballantine for flavor genuine.
It's got that golden flavor, true ale flavor. Oh, that Ballantine, ale with Brewer's Gold.
Remember, friend, ale is the trend. Enjoy the genuine. For ale that's really light and gold, just make the tree ring sign.
Enjoy that golden flavor, true ale flavor.
It's the genuine.
Do you think you might have a ghost in your home or business? Do you live in Minnesota or the surrounding area? Then you'll want to call the Northern Minnesota Paranormal Investigators, the number one paranormal investigative team in the state. Check us out at www.hauntingresearch.com and get the help you need today.
He's alive! Alive!
Yeah.
Make way, Suzuki. The ultimate two-wheel experience is here. Yes, 5,000 cc's of flaming fury waiting for a man macho enough to tame it. It's the Kamikaze XS, and it'll take you from 0 to 200 miles an hour in under 6 seconds. Hold tight, because this babe's got everything except brakes. The Kamikaze XS. It's the last motorcycle you'll ever ride.
Because we still haven't forgotten World War II, Yankee Dog.
You're listening to the Dark Plains Radio Network on darkplainsradio.com, providing you with a fun, new, exciting talk radio experience. Bringing you the very best in talk radio. You'll hear news, sports, politics, the greatest programming in the paranormal, or anything of interest from around the world. Dark Plains Radio doesn't just stop at that. We provide our listeners with the complete internet experience. Dark Plains Radio is now mobile. You can hear all of our great shows on Nokia Internet Radio and Moodio. Check them out. We're on your cell phone. You'll be glad you did. Listen to Dark Plains Radio Network on darkplainsradio.com and take us with you on Nokia Internet Radio or Moodio. Don't forget and keep listening to your favorite programming as Dark Plains Radio continues to grow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dark Plains Radio Show with Joel and Brian and our wonderful guest, Kashana. And also, we have Derek White Sky Cloud on the line to talk to us about shamanism.
We do.
Moi?
little moi. Well, you know, what I thought was kind of cool is during the break, you guys were kind of talking, and one thing that was brought up was variations from, you know, one teaching to another, and I wondered if the two of you would want to kind of discuss maybe some of the differences between yourselves.
Well, basically, we figured out that what her teachings are very variations of the Mayan teaching. Mine are not Mayan teachings. Mine are traditional Cree teachings, Ojibwe teachings. I work on reservations. I run sweat lodges when it's available. I do all types of ceremonies, even some ancient ceremonies that you would not see done anymore, that are passed down to you from your elders. So, like I said before, I met a lady that calls herself a core shaman, which I've never heard of one like that before. When I wrote my book, I sent it. Actually, I was going to one of the stores to sell my, to some book to one of the bookstores, and I told them that I am a shaman as well by teachings. And they asked me who was I registered under and who was I taught under. And I told my elders, and he said, no. What school did you go to? Registered shaman. I said, there's no such thing as registered shaman. And they said, oh yes, it is. I said, no, you don't. I said, my teachings that I grew up with it, not just having to say, oh, I'm a shaman now. So, you know, it's different. Some people, they have one-sided belief system that they figure that they should go shaman by teachings by other people. My teachings are that you have to understand both spirit worlds, and there's different levels of it. And when you get down to those levels, you have to understand that, are you willing to take on entities that invade your body to help heal people? That's what shamans are.
Wait. Is that the spiritual helper? Is that what I've read about as the spiritual helper? What exactly is a spiritual helper, guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, basically, I will leave my body. And, for example, if I run a sweat lodge, I've had people actually were wanting to make contact with loved ones, where I would suddenly leave my body and someone will walk into it, and who I would trust in spirit, and that person would help me help that person go through the spirit world to the other side. I had a mother who lost her child through, she was about, he was about 2 years old. And when I was ready to leave the lodge, I started throwing up. I couldn't understand why I was throwing up so much. So I had my fire keeper and his mom hold me down because I said, guys, I'm going down. I said, I'm leaving. And so his mother was at my feet holding me down while I leave my body. And I had to, and I saw myself inside with the child, carrying the child down the tunnel towards the mother, the grandmother should say. And the grandmother told me I could not enter. I had to go back. When I came back and I opened my eyes, they were looking at me, just staring at me. Everybody was staring at me. Like there's like maybe 15 people there. And they're going, wow. And I said, what happened? How long have I been out? And they said, about a half an hour. And they said that I looked pregnant. My whole stomach just stuck way out. I looked pregnant, and I thought I actually had a baby inside of me. So you actually represent that carrier for that spirit to the other side.
No,
so these things happen.
Kashana, does that any of that sound familiar to anything that happens with you?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is, first I'm thrilled to hear experiences from somebody who has that real connection with the Native American connection, because like he said, a lot of what we focus on is more on the South American side of things, but I mean, I do absolutely do that work, the underworld, the extractions. Like I said, it's very much, if I can be of assistance, and I, you know, like he described it as being between the planes, I do experience those things, and loved ones that have passed, you know, we fine tooth comb those things. I think when it comes down to it, it's also, there's a classic difference, which he's very, very skilled in what, you know, he has inherited, which is actually being a lot more physically involved. I am physically involved, but I do have certain boundaries at a certain point in time where I'm still very much of assistance to my clients, and I do my work, but I keep myself protected, whereas it sounds like I'm really excited to hear more about his experiences, because it sounds like he also lends his physical self a lot more, and I've heard about that, but I don't do that.
Do you fast before you do a healing? Is that a normal practice for you?
Who are you speaking to?
Oh, speaking to you. Do you fast before you do a healing?
There's tons of prep that we do. I sort of just follow my intuitions. I follow my instincts. I follow my heart, my spirit. I follow the serendipities that inform me. You know, salt baths are wonderful, but I don't particularly jump in the tub before a client's coming. But, you know, if anything, if it has been a week full of sessions, I definitely take care of my physical self, and salt baths or boiled rosemary baths are wonderful just to break up any heavy energy and to really help mulch all of the ventures we've been on, because when you do venture to the underworld and you do venture into these realms, you know, you have to very much take care of yourself.
I remember one time I went into a health food store, and I was telling him I was just very tired and et cetera, and this lady goes, well, some salt baths would really be good for you. And I didn't understand what she meant by that, but hearing you say that it helps cleanse you, that makes a lot of sense.
I
never understand why they recommended that for me, even though I feel like I do a lot of traveling in my sleep at night, but I can't really remember anything.
Well, you know, I'd love to hear if White Sky Cloud is partial to salt baths as well.
I do use those medicines, but I mix them with other herbs because there's one time that when a friend of mine's brother passed away, his brother that crossed over would not leave my body. He actually invaded my body, and I could not see through my eyes. I had a hard time seeing. And I drove all the way home, barely could see through my eyes, but I became him. I felt his anger. I felt he didn't want to leave my body. And so I had my wife help me where she had to prepare the medicines and in the bath, and I had to be on my knees, and my wife, and I was praying. My wife was over me, and she kept saying, "Whitebrook, help your brother, Whitebrook, help your brother." And so she actually had to soak the whole towel in the bath, and she kept covering my back and kept washing over me until finally the spirit left me.
That's going to be a really weird feeling. I mean, I can't imagine how you, Brian, or you know, Tammy. I mean, how do you deal with that?
I can imagine.
I'm used to it.
I don't know anything much about it. I'm just
I'm used to it. If I know where well I'm being invaded, then I know where well I have to be. My wife has to help me.
But it's just the thought of being invaded that I guess would bother me the most.
You know, it's different compared to, if you guys should, like, you know, like, we work as paranormal investigators. I can actually make contact with someone and have them come through my body and talk through me. But then there's people that you're trying to heal and help them go to the side, and some people that won't leave you, and it takes others' assistance, other people to help you to take that person out of you, because when a person passes away, they don't understand the fact that they've crossed over. And when they feel that they can try to invade you or trying to keep that body because they're not used to being there. And they feel that, I got a very strong figure here. I can take over this body. And what two spirits, two souls cannot control one body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he was trying, you know, his brother was quite selfish. He didn't want to leave, but I did send him through.
No double occupancy.
Yeah, no double occupancy.
Yeah. It's really interesting that there's that. You know, I actually had to have some, you know, help with an extraction as well, and I felt very much in my lower stomach, just a lot of discomfort, extremely bloated, and so I definitely know it's no fun. It's no fun to do that, and so the fact that you have a partner to help you, your wife to help, that's a very, very special.
She's an expert. She's whatever I'm able to get her to help me with if I need it, that she's there with me. She's her own medicine keeper in her own, because she studies herbs, medicines, and she's pretty good with me. If I ever had any back problems, she'd bring out the oils, and she'd mix them up and she'd put them on me. When I had a sciatic nerve issues when I hurt myself about 10 years ago, she was right there, and she had the oils out massaging the areas where it would get into the acupressure. Yeah, she's doing acupressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to let everybody know really quick that if you have a question from the chat room, or if you're just listening on one of our many players here, please just give us a jingle at 218-305-4676. That's right, one more time. It's 218-305-4676. That is the call-in number for tonight's show.
It is?
It is.
It is. It is.
Hello.
Reverberating.
We are. We're getting some reverb from somewhere. Where the heck is that coming from?
The guilty party is the reverberation.
You got echoes, guys. Spirits are here.
Echo. That could be.
Yep. Great chat room question just came through, and I'll field this one really quick. Hey, actually, Tammy fielded that one.
What is the difference between urban people or spiritual people? That is Snookum Cakes asking the question.
You know, it just depends on what are the needs for the title? You know what I mean? It's a sort of, you can categorize people as much as you want, but like, what would be, you know, the sort of need to, you know, give them that role. I'm just trying to understand the question a little better.
I think what you're asking is, there's a difference. I guess there's some people that just base their healing on herbs only. They mix up different herbal remedies. And I'm not quite sure what they mean by spiritual people. I guess, or is that healers in general, Newcomb Cakes, that you're asking?
Okay. So, yeah, there are, the shamanism that I study, we do also start to incorporate herb medicine, plant medicine, and so certainly I'm sure some people choose to just study herbs and some people to do more energetic healing, but I think after a certain while, you only have this short life to know all these amazing things about plants, about energy healing, and you're always learning something new.
So do you use medicines yourself to apply to clients?
I do not. You know, I use sage, but it's nothing they have to rub on themselves or anything. And I'm very interested in hearing more about white sky clouds, the way that his wife works with those herbs, especially that, you know, he's had the opportunity to really, really stay in the culture. That sounds very exciting for me to know a lot more about.
Oh, absolutely. You guys need to hook up after the show, exchange some information, and maybe you guys can learn a little bit from each other, different viewpoints of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never know. You just might.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, and the thing is, you know, I mean, a lot of times, and I've found that in the paranormal investigation world too, you know, when people put their minds together, they can come up with other things, you know, that sometimes they didn't realize. And yeah, you mm-hmm. never know. You guys should talk.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about ghosts.
All right, let's talk about ghosts. I like ghosts. Ghosts are cool.
I've had enough. I want to talk about ghosts.
Well, then talk about ghosts, Joel.
How did ghosts play a role in this healing?
I'll leave that for you, White Sky Cloud. I want to hear more about you. I've been talking for an hour before you got here, so...
It's your show, guys. You talk.
Well,
awesome. I will then. That's me. 11 years in New York. Hello. I'll talk.
Love the New York accent.
Love hearing you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I think ghosts... There's a spiritual... I mean, from my personal experience, this is what I gather. There is another realm. There's another level of existence. It's not just the finite that we see, but in fact the infinite. So people passing, when they know they're passing, it's one thing. And as White Sky Cloud mentioned, if they don't know they passed, they don't know who to look for. In the study course that I take, Alberto Villoldo, he talks a little bit about if somebody is gone, they died because they were in a coma. Or if somebody has passed away of an overdose or a shock accident and they didn't know that it was coming, that oftentimes they do have sort of unfinished business. And again, these phrases I'm using are very much from my study course. You know, that he speaks very much about that. So, you know, ghosts do come in, and yeah, I'm able to share messages, and there's a lot of friendly ghosts. They're sort of like we are. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they've got a nice setup, they're happy where they are, and they just have a message for someone.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a little bit more urgent, but I haven't had so many of those.
Okay. You know, I think ghosts, quite honestly, are all around us. What do you guys feel?
Absolutely.
Oh,
definitely. I absolutely think that.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. I believe that they are here. I believe it's our spirit. You know, that's just in a different realm, whatever that realm would be. And I think they're here. I think they help us all the time. I think they do a lot for us that we don't even realize. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think
they're... Well, yeah,
life would be boring without spirit.
Especially Jack Daniels.
Yeah, especially Jack Daniels. Oh, yeah. He's my favorite spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's
that guy.
I know, we're sick and demented.
I'm sorry?
We're sick and demented. Joel's sick, I'm demented.
Yes, we're a great crew. You get the sick and the demented.
Perfect. You can start a new beverage company.
There you go.
Well, it appears that Derek hung up. We would definitely like to thank Derek for coming on.
Yes, thanks, Derek.
Sharing his knowledge with us, telling us a little bit on his end, the differences between the two basically disciplines of healing.
And Derek is phenomenal because I've had a reading by him before and also some healing. He's fabulous. Highly recommend him.
Cool. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he sounds amazing. I would love to know more about his book and
it's exciting.
It's
very exciting to connect.
Oh, absolutely. But
oh, who'd we lose? Oh, well, it sounds like we lost everybody else. So, yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and start a commercial here, and we'll let it play until we can get everybody hooked back up again. Sorry about the inconvenience. Be right back.
This is Brian Harnoff from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Dark Plains Radio.
Want to meet some of the best in paranormal? Then you'll want to attend the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference. It's coming, and you'll not want to miss it. The Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July the 24th, 25th, and 26th. On Minnesota's historic Iron Range. You will get to meet and investigate with some of the top paranormal investigators in the field today. The original legend tripper, Chad Lewis. From hit movies, Children of the Grave, Keith Age. And from the hit show, Ghost Hunt.
All right, guys, we're all reconnected again. I don't know what happened, but...
Yeah, it booted Derek out, too. And Derek, glad you're back. Because you offer a lot of insight to the other side of healing that you do, you know, with Native American practices.
Yeah, so it's all good, man. I think. You still there, Joel?
Yeah, I'm here.
You didn't lose us again, did you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, man, you gotta love glitches, but...
Oh, my gosh, we the glitch fest!
It is the glitch fest, but...
But anyway, 2009.
You know what we need to go into. We're getting that reverb again too. What is up with
we
that?
We are.
We are reverberating again. It's terrible. Thought we had that fixed a minute ago. But anyway, what we need to do.
I don't hear it.
What we need to do is we need to get into shameless plug time for you, Kashana. We need to have you let all the listeners out there know how to get a hold of you. How to check out the school you've attended and the whole ball of wax. Let everybody know.
So my shameless plug is that I did a film, an indie film called The Wrong Hands. It's in post-production. It was my first lead, and I'm just like teetering, hoping for news about when this will be released. And I will be sure to just give everybody a shout-out and let you guys know what's
happened. Cool. Sounds awesome. Absolutely. Really does. Sounds really cool. And I wanted to have you real quick, and I know I did it earlier with Zoolander, and I'm going to go now to Epic Movie to have you tell everybody where you are in Epic Movie so they can check you out in that one too.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Yeah, it's I spoofed Storm, like at Mutant High. So it's sort of a spoof of the mutants, and as they, you know, pick a fight on this poor, helpless other character. So it was very fun. The crew was really fun, and it allowed me to laugh at myself and to wear a really cool costume. So
you got to play Storm, huh?
I got to play Storm, and you know, the wig that was $4,000.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
So they literally made a $4,000 wig for this movie. I was like, OMG, what are you going to do with this wig, like, after the movie's done, you know?
You put it on eBay. And you make, and you make $4,000 for yourself. There you go. Actually, we probably double that.
where have you been all my life? That was just the insight I was looking for at that time.
Do you still have the wig? Did you get to keep the wig?
No. Oh. I mean, you know, once the project is done, you're happy to, you know, if you take a piece from every job, my gosh, you won't even be able to get in your door.
Yeah, but see, that's what you call a retirement plan. You take all that stuff, and then you put it on eBay later on in life and say, here's the costume from Epic Movie. Ta-da.
There you go. Bid on this.
You can make
sell it for
$50,000.
Yeah, make a little side money on it. Come
Absolutely.
On.
Okay, you know, I'll have to keep your advice in mind.
Definitely. Or you could just keep the stuff and mail it to us, and we'll put it on eBay for our retirement plan.
We promise we'll pay you. Don't worry.
Why, thank you.
We'll do that for you.
There you go. Just autograph it first.
There is a 99.9% processing fee that we do charge. So.
Yeah, but we will sell your items on eBay.
Thank you.
We are just terrible. I know we are.
We are. Oh, tonight has been a night of terrible things, though. The glitches with Skype, man.
I'll tell you, Skype has a mind of its own sometimes, and
it's a great phone system. It's a great phone system, but it's way more stable, folks. It's way more stable in XP than it is on Vista.
Yes, it is.
Because I'm using a Vista machine, and nothing but trouble.
Well, we'll experiment with your new sound card over during the next week and make sure that we don't have the glitch we were afraid of. And if we don't, you'll be back on your XP machine next week, and hopefully we won't have these problems.
I can only pray and hope.
Yeah, let's hope. We will. We'll hope for the best. But, Kashana, it has absolutely been wonderful having you on the show. I've had a ball, you know, talking about such a wide range of stuff.
Thank you so much.
It has been great.
Yeah.
You're very well spoken and knowledgeable, and I love the way you explain shamanism and healing because it was very simplistic. It was something everybody could understand.
Yeah, well,
great. Awesome.
Yep.
It's something that, you know, you want everybody to be able to grasp what you're talking about, you know, and you can get into all kinds of terminology with all kinds of stuff and really lose people. So, you know, it's good to keep it on a simple. Plus, I'm kind of a simpleton, so it helps. But
you ain't kidding.
I have another question real quick before we go, Kashana. I want to see if you can stick around for a few minutes after the show.
Sure.
All right. Got a couple of things for you, so I just wanted to ask you quick if you could do that. And you know what? Until next week, everybody, we're out of here. Good night.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Night.